Students Who Design is a podcast and video series that bridges students and the design industry. By students, for students. Be sure to check out our website, studentswho.design.
This is Students Who Design. Today we're talking to Humphrey Obobi. He studies computer science and bioengineering at Harvard and has previously worked at Microsoft and IDEO. This episode covers product management versus product design, building a product community at your school, and so much more. We hope you enjoy the episode.
Students Who Design is sponsored in part by Facebook Design. For more resources and information on designing at Facebook, visit facebook.design and check out open roles at facebook.com/careers.
Hey, Humphrey. So first off, we'd like to introduce what school you currently attend, your major, and where you previously worked.
Sounds good. So I am currently, my name is Humphrey Obobi. I am currently at Harvard. I'm a senior at Harvard studying bioengineering and computer science. Computer science is technically my secondary or minor, as most
just
normal
casual.
Schools call. Yeah,
you know. And where have you previously worked?
So I previously worked, I guess I started off my summer after freshman year working at the Beast Institute for Biologically Inspired, Biologically Inspired Materials? Biologically Inspired Research? Something
materials
like that.
Materials that are inspired.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. So started off there, then summer after that, had a major shift, went to Microsoft and did the Explore program, so half PM, half software.
Okay.
And then we actually worked at IDEO for 2 weeks, the IDEO Colab, doing basically their like Colab fellowship, working on a lot of cool stuff there. Then shortly thereafter started this like student agency called Dev that's still running right now.
Super cool.
And then this past summer worked at Microsoft as a full-time PM.
Awesome. And how did you get into product design?
So,
especially with many girls being PME.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like for me, I guess I should probably qualify by saying that I still feel that I approach PMing with a very much like design-oriented mindset or like a design mindset. I feel like a lot of problems within business and within like a, just thinking generally about a product can be solved just by thinking through it in a typical like design thinking fashion.
No, it's completely true.
Yeah.
There's like a recent podcast about in I think it's Finland, they're using design thinking to test universal basic income. So they have like a test group and then random people get money and then they like analyze if people are more productive.
Oh, sweet.
But no, I think
yeah, look into that.
Yeah.
But I think I first got into product design, my major shift was beginning of sophomore year. So like, I guess the story I always tell is basically that like in that time thereabout, I was coming basically out of 3 summers in a row of doing a lot of like basic scientific research, mostly in biochemistry and in, I guess, like biomaterials. And so around that time, I was starting to wonder a lot about how a lot of this basic research ends up getting translated into something that actually, like, I guess, like impacts people.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I started looking into a lot of like other avenues for really just paying more attention to that side of things. So around that time, I started helping out with this entrepreneurship conference called Illuminate Global.
Okay.
And basically around that same time, working with that team, I met someone named Shuya Gong. She's an awesome designer here, graduating this semester, I think. And basically, she was like the only designer on that team. And so I, being interested in this whole like design thing, I was like really interested in typography and like just noticed a lot of things that just really like pissed me off.
Yeah.
Like if like the alignments on a website was off or something like that. And so like very like meager things, but I like just started talking to her about a lot of these things. And so like basically over the course of that summer, I was doing research, but I was also like learning Illustrator and learning how to like actually make things as a designer, I guess. And so basically through that summer, did a lot of like freelance stuff, either making logos or making like just like random assets and things like that for
just
people.
Just deep into work.
Yeah, basically.
Tool.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I'd like my 9 to 5 was like doing what at that time was 3D bioprinting, which was really fun. But then like after that, I'd always just be like working on like design stuff. And so that was like the main shift, I guess. But then as far as like getting really into product design, I think it was really due to a club started by like someone who graduated in 2016 or a group of people who graduated in 2016, a club called Springboard that focused on like human-centered design.
Okay.
And so basically in the first lecture, I guess, and or like not the first lecture, but the first like meeting that all of the new members would have to go to. Mm-hmm. We watched this video, like the typical, like, have you seen the shopping cart? Yeah, yeah. I didn't even have to say it.
Audio guy, clearly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But they showed us the shopping cart video. Yeah. I was like, wow. Like, for me, like a lot of the stuff that I'd already done with like, just I guess taking a very like methodical approach to solving problems mm-hmm. could be applied in this very abstract sense. And when you took it to that level, like just opportunities were endless, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's how I started really getting into product design.
So you majored in something completely different from design. So
yeah.
Bioengineering, minoring in computer science,
yep.
and going to a completely, Harvard's many things, but it's not a design school yet. graduate level, yes, but as an undergrad, it's kind of difficult to find those pockets.
Yeah.
So with completely unrelated majors at a non-design school, how were you able to either leverage those opportunities to improve your craft, or what were kind of the turning points for you?
Yeah. So with this, it's like, it is difficult for sure. Like that's, without a doubt, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, especially when you go to like a school like RISD or Pratt or something like that, where you're constantly surrounded by people who are doing it, it's obviously a lot easier and like
it's your life.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's your life for those 4 years and beyond.
Yeah.
So for me, I guess like the main things that I guess I did to help like continue to grow in design was just like continuing to just do it, I guess. Springboard helped a lot for sure.
Yeah, if you find like a club or a consultancy.
Yeah. So Springboard helped a lot in that sense. But I think like even then, beyond that, like whenever I had the opportunity to approach a problem with like a very much like design thinking mindset, I would. And at this point it's kind of become like second nature. Like if I'm solving any kind of problem, whether it's like building an app or whether it's doing like a bioengineering thesis project, all of that is like very much approach with that same mindset.
Yeah, and so it's just a problem solving method.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so when you continue to apply it, when I continue to apply it to like all of those other different things, it became a lot easier to, I suppose, now transition into more like product design within technology. And so basically just using all of those different experiences to inspire what I did later on.
And so you were able to find things like Springboard and students that you could look up to at Harvard.
Yeah.
What do you think that students can do in a university setting to continuously improve their craft?
To continuously improve their craft. I suppose like one thing that I always suggest is really just like starting a project. So for me, for example, like one thing that I did that wasn't even necessarily, like it's still product design, but like more physical product design, was continue to work on like a hackathon project that I did at Hackett Brown back in like my sophomore spring, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So back then I worked with this like really awesome team of like, we were pretty much all identified as designers, but like all had like some sort of experience in like either mechanical or electrical or some sort of other engineering. Mm-hmm. And we tried to make this device that was basically like a wooden flower. That like basically we wanted to be like a living sculpture like on a desk or something like that that would reflect either like things about your own mood or things about like the like environment that was around you.
Okay.
And so basically built that out and worked out pretty nicely. But then like later on, like a class that I had where basically like
every like design environmental class always has this like do something and that's like complete or like do something in the sense that like design something that can change people's behaviors related to the environment.
Exactly, yeah. And in this case, like for what I actually ended up doing with it later, it wasn't even actually related to like a design class, but rather it was an electrical engineering class where we basically just had to like make anything that had like a complicated enough like circuit design. And so basically I ended up making a version 2 of that device that basically took into account like the sound in an environment and responded accordingly. Whether so it would bloom when it was like more calm and quiet, but then it would like contract a little bit when like things were really like distorted or it was like a din in the room, things like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I think that's one thing that many students who are like who know the design tools and whatnot, hackathons are like a great medium to like really show those skills.
Oh yeah.
But continuing, like it doesn't have to be just that 24 hours. It could be beyond the 24 hours. And because like no one's going to stop you from continuing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so why not build on it?
Yeah.
Like, I always, my philosophy with hackathons, because at this point, How many hackathons have I been to? Yeah. Oh my God. I went to a lot in sophomore year. Yeah. Have gone to a couple like as time has gone on, but like I think at this point I've organized 3.5, and then I've helped actually like gone to somewhere around like 10. Wow. So like I've gotten like good enough or good amount of experience doing that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you really do have to like build upon it. Like that's just the beginning. You always have to like continue forward, build on those skills so that you don't let them atrophy. And then so that you can just like make a full on, like whether it's like a case study or just like building up a new design skill as well. So like there are a lot of things that you can do to just like maybe like prototype a new feature that you would add to it. Whether it's like just making it in Sketch and then like making it a click through and prototype on Envision, or whether it's like actually using something like Origami Studio or Principle to do some motion design to get just like that little bit extra like step forward, I guess. Yeah.
So in this next segment, I want to talk a little bit more about your career and how you kind of got into product design outside of school.
Yep.
So how did you get your first opportunity or internship, and what did you do to stand out during that time?
Yeah. So basically my first role within tech was, again, like that Explore internship with Microsoft, which basically like it's a program specifically to help people like get into tech, right? Mm-hmm. Like you do half software engineering and half product management or product design, like depending on how you swing it and depending on how your team swings it.
Okay.
So I got lucky with that one because when I got to Microsoft, my team was pretty much a startup within Microsoft in some sense.
Okay.
Like the product that they were working on was totally new.
Yeah.
It was like technically within like the Office Experience organization,
okay.
but they like rounded up a new team for it. Like
and you got this on this team.
Yeah, which was great. Yeah. Okay. So basically, like the product management side of my role ended up being like a lot of user research and a lot of
still
like.
Still ended up being designing.
Yeah, it still ended up being very much designing. And so, as far as like how I ended up getting that job, basically ended up talking to a recruiter like early September, just to like get the ball rolling, I guess.
Yeah.
And she's awesome, Becky, who now like does like recruiting for Harvard and UW, but for like more like PhD, like going into MSR. But yeah, she was awesome. We talked a lot. She ended up giving me like a quick phone screen. And then after that, like basically in that phone screen, got to talk a lot about my interests in like design and product management and trying to like, I guess, like get into this thing since at this point I'd had no like actual like like industry engineering experience. At this point it was pretty much just like all the research that I had done in the past. But I guess in some sense like that also communicated like some sort of like
initiative.
There we go.
And so what would you recommend to students who are thinking about doing product design versus product management? But also, could we define that? Because I think a lot of people get confused as to like what is the difference.
Yeah.
And then recruiting for both is a completely different thing.
Yeah, for sure. And so as far as the definitions go, I guess, I always see product design being very much, well, let's see. I guess I'll start with product management because product management is a little bit more broad in what it can be within a company. And even that depends on the scale of the company, what they do, et cetera, et cetera. So in general, I always see the product manager's role to be to ensure the success of the product as it goes through its developments and launch. So basically, a lot of people have said that they're like the CEO of a product.
Yeah. The responsibility of a CEO, but not the authority of a CEO.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like these weird like things that like a PM shouldn't be like an asshole, but they should.
They should be convincing and try to like lead through like context, not control, which is something that like a lot of, it's something that I hear often, and it's something that even within dev, which I'll talk about later, that we try to influence as well. But basically like that's the product manager's role. Like they're very much just trying to like lead a lot of different aspects, whether it's like the business side, whether it's like kind of like interfacing with design and engineering as well, and just trying to define what success means for that product and try to drive the team towards that. The designer's role is definitely, or the product designer's role, again, also depends on the company. And for some companies, like certain larger companies, it can be a lot more siloed, but in some others, you really do get to define it yourself and like touch a lot of different aspects of it. But to me at least, I would try to define it as like trying to, I suppose, define and implement, or define and communicate. Design, implement, and communicate, maybe?
Identify, execute.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all these frameworks.
Yeah, exactly. But like really focused around like the experience of a product as interfaces with people, but then I guess like also factoring in a lot of like other like business considerations, engineering considerations, etc., and making it a cohesive experience that can be well communicated.
And yeah. How did you go about deciding between the two? Because I know you're currently in the middle of interviewing, so we don't have to dive deep into that. But
yeah.
Since you were able to weigh out both options, what did you see for yourself as the pros and cons?
Yeah, this is an internal debate that I'm still going through. Yeah. However, I think, especially when I was initially coming into the tech industry, yeah. I think product management was definitely my best fit in a sense, just because A, I didn't have very much like what you would typically consider like portfolio material.
Like interaction design.
Yeah, didn't have much of that. And then also, because of like my technical background, I felt like I would be able to, I suppose, like communicate well on both sides.
So on engineering like, and design.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think a lot of people forget that like as a PM, to get buy-in from every single like function, whether that's data, engineering, design, etc., like your experience in those fields definitely helps.
Yeah.
So just going cold as a PM might not be the best thing for your team if you don't have previous experience in either one of those areas, like data, engineering, design.
Exactly. Yeah. And so in that sense, for me, I felt like PM was a good fit. Mm. And so I pursued that while also trying to build up my design skills.
So but, you were in the IDEO Colab Fellowship.
Yep.
I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how you're able to get into that program and what did you learn during those 2 weeks at IDEO?
Yeah. So how did I get into it first?
How did that work?
Yeah. So
I don't think a lot of people are aware that IDEO has this 2 week thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So really, and like the 2 week thing or the 2 week fellowship is part of, well, I guess the Colab. So the Colab is like their research and design branch.
Okay.
And they basically host like a winter fellowship, which is the 2 week one. They have like a 9 or 10 week one in the summer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So either are options. Really? Okay. But yeah, it's basically just a way to like bring together a lot of creatives from different backgrounds and basically throw them a lot of different problems, see what they come up with. And honestly, like the kind of stuff that we end up coming up with is pretty incredible. Like,
so just, what's like an example
you could give? Yeah, so I mean, for example, like during the 2 weeks, which honestly, I can say almost without a doubt, like that those 2 weeks were the most learning dense 2 weeks of my entire life. Like came out of that experience really feeling like I could be like a fully like independent designer in a sense.
Yeah.
And but anyway, during those 2 weeks, me and my group of three were basically working on the general concept of open reputation and how that could be applied to how lots of different areas of technology could be applied to that.
What is open reputation?
So basically what that boiled down to was the reputation of like a person, a product, a service.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so like how can you actually use technology to facilitate the interactions that are part of like building a reputation or the like consequences of a good or bad reputation or things like that. How can technology be used to facilitate those kinds of interactions? So while I'm not entirely sure how much I can go into,
trying to understand like what, because 2 weeks is a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, I need a whole 10-week internship to learn things, but 2 weeks was enough.
Yeah, you have to be a bit scrappy for sure. But like for example, basically the way that the 2 weeks was broken up was such that we had a 1 2-day sprint, 1 3-day sprint, and then 1 4-day sprint.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And okay. So basically each sprint was supposed to either maybe use whatever learnings came out of the previous sprint to either go in a different direction or build on top of it and try to explore what new things you can do with it. And so in that sense, like for our team in particular, we ended up going in a bit of a different direction the first time and then took a lot of our learnings and the frameworks that we'd come up with in those previous two sprints to come up with something totally new in the third sprint that really pulled a lot of things together. Yeah.
Just to give context, the third sprint was directly after the second sprint.
Yeah, everything's directly after the other.
There's no,
after
like,
the other.
Time to waste. nice.
No. Yeah. That's awesome. So like even for that particular time, I suppose I kind of cheated a little bit because of the for the third sprint, for example. Sorry, for the second sprint, the weekend ended up being in between. And so I used a lot of that time to like learn how to use Flask properly, like built out this like
Python framework.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Python framework, lightweight Python framework for web development. And so used that weekend to learn how to do that properly, like hacked away at stuff. Like it was intense, but it was a lot of fun and we learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself as a designer, how to interface with other designers as well. Just everything, really. Yeah.
Awesome. And so you also started in an agency here at Harvard called Dev.
Yeah.
And you're, I think, the only person on our show that was a little, or is a little bit more entrepreneurial. So I'm wondering if you could go into like, what were the hardest parts of one, starting that business?
Yeah.
And two, describing like, how were you able to manage that, but also do work within that at the same time?
Yeah, for sure. So I should actually probably clarify a little bit with Dev in particular. Dev is actually part of Harvard Student Agencies, which is like, I guess, the phrase that they always use is like they're the largest like student-run organization.
Yeah.
Yeah. And really, they're like a conglomerate of a lot of different agencies. But one of the alumni basically gave like this really large grant in order to start a new agency, and so basically, they decided to start this development agency, but for me, coming into it as like the first like product designer that was like recruited by that like initial team, I had also had this dream since like sophomore spring of like starting an agency at Harvard, whether it was like just doing design or design development, and basically decided that this was like a prime opportunity to like really define the identity of this thing and make sure that it can last. And so, in that sense, I basically came onto the team in that role as like a product designer, product manager, did design for pretty much every project like leading into the summer, and then also like managed a lot of the projects, coded a bit myself, like really tried to
multiple hats.
Yeah, really had to wear a lot of different hats to make sure that this thing could all come together. And so it's been a lot of fun, honestly. Like for me, I suppose like balancing it. It is like definitely a bit of a juggling feat, right? Because like at this point right now, it's like interviews, trying to run Dev, senior thesis, classes, all of this other stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Dev again like was my dream for a while, or like has been my dream since sophomore year.
Yeah.
And so for me, there's no way that I would like just let that go.
For sure.
And there's no way that I would let it even just like stay stagnant. I want to make sure that this thing can flourish and that it can build up a community of people who, for again, like for the kinds of people that we were talking about before who are trying to get into, whether it's doing design or development or get a taste of what it's like to work in this industry, so that they have that opportunity to like take on real problems given to them by people out there in the wild, like whether they're student entrepreneurs or venture capital firms or whatever it is. They can come to us as a team and know that we're going to output something great.
Yeah. And what would you recommend to students who might be in their very first design internship or doing a freelance gig or just at a startup locally, and they want to level up to a IDEO or a Microsoft or another, maybe even start their own agency?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I guess, like, those definitely infer, like, different tracks, I guess,
for
right?
For sure.
Yeah, because, like,
I think generally they have... There's a certain technical skill level which is like pretty equal.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, with all of those things, you really do have to, I suppose, like, feel independence as a designer, right? Like, you have to build your skill up to that level, right? And so I feel like that's probably the first thing, making sure that you've built up a solid repertoire of work that you can show and say, like, I've learned all of these skills, I've implemented them, I've, like, seen these results, like, et cetera, et cetera. And that can come in a lot of different forms. Like, again, like what we were talking about before with like hackathon projects and making sure you can like build on them in the future, whether it's just like, again, freelancing, everyone's always looking for work somewhere.
Yeah.
I think, for example, for me, a lot of how I actually like built up my skills was really just by hacking mailing lists. Not like actually hacking mailing lists, but like basically any time like a request would come into, whether it was like a whether it was like a job list or whether it was like a like student organization that just needed some help with something.
Because you hacked all these mailing lists, you were always able to be on top of these opportunities.
Yeah, basically.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I would just constantly have like work coming in from like organizations, from people at HBS, Harvard Business School, all of those different things that just helped me to like understand how to do this work better. And while I don't put all of those in my like portfolio, in fact, like I think of all of those projects that I took on, maybe like one of them I actually put in my portfolio, but all of those things just kept me thinking about this field and kept me thinking about the work that I was doing. And honestly, like over time made me a significantly better designer. Yeah. Like I think like if you're trying to level up to that point, you just have to continue working and continue reflecting as well. I think like for me, one of my main things, like whether it's within product management or design or whatever it is, I'm constantly just thinking about frameworks and like thinking about exactly how is it that I can actually do my best work? How is it that I can take into account like different parameters of different scenarios, and how does that change how I'm gonna actually do something? All of these different things that you can really only get by continuing to learn through experience.
So this last set of questions are questions that we ask every single guest, and they're essentially the topics that are on the minds of students who want to get into design or who are currently in design.
Yeah.
So the first question is, having the experience that you do, there's probably some things that you feel that the design industry doesn't quite get about the student design community or the newbie design community. Could you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah. So I think like for a lot of product design jobs, it'll be like 3 to 5 years of experience and like, yeah. But like, I think honestly, especially for me coming from my background where really I did not come from like a design background at all. Yeah. I hadn't even taken like a studio art course in like years, like since like fourth grade or something like that. But it was basically the point is that like, really if you're like an early designer, a lot of it comes down to really just your thought process. And so I feel like, honestly, a lot of people that I know who are really interested in design, it's not even necessarily that they need to necessarily build up like a lot of skills. Of course, like, well, obviously they do need to eventually, and they need to like maybe show some initiative, have shown like that they are eager to learn, that kind of stuff. But also just like digging deep into how they think about design, how they think about information hierarchies, how they think about like the relationships between like a product and a service and like the people who use it. Like all of those things like are things that I think like the industry should be paying a lot more attention to when it comes to like early designers.
Rather than just like show me something that's a visual design project.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, because even then, like for like a standard portfolio, I feel like it's very easy to just like look at it and judge it as you would judge someone who again like has that like 3 to 5 years of experience.
Yeah.
It's hard to make that subjective differentiation in your head. So like, I think rather thinking through and talking with them and understanding how they talk through problems is probably like a better way to go. Of course, I'm not a hiring manager at all, yeah. But personal opinion.
And so you have a lot to manage from, whether that's school, life, work, dev, recruiting. How do you try to stay on top of it all?
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, like, definitely, like, oh man. Over the course of like the past, like, however many years, it's just been like bouncing between a lot of different things for sure. But I think the one thing that I do try to do, at least like as all of this stuff is happening, is still for sure like keeping friends first. Like, okay. I always try to make a lot of time for like the people who matter most, even if like there are a bunch of random things that are happening. So like that, I guess, like helps to like keep me grounded through like everything that's happening. I also like have me being very interested in productivity software. I use a lot of them. So definitely Google Calendar for sure.
Yeah.
Wonderlist is my absolute favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, which is sad to see it possibly die, like eventually. Like I know like Microsoft To-Do is probably gonna be using a lot of that same code and everything, but I don't know, like all the integrations and everything like are really what make it, yeah. All the integrations are really what make it powerful. I always obsess over whichever like mail clients I use. I use Spark.
Oh, Spark's great.
Yeah.
Except I heard they like take all your data, but
but in the meantime,
yes, very productive.
Yeah. So like just using tools like that to make sure I have everything in line.
There's a lot of articles and newsletters and blogs in general.
Yeah.
Noise or just overflow of content in the design industry.
Yeah.
What do you do to filter out what's relevant to you or what's good versus what is actually just noise? Mm.
So I think I make one, this is perhaps a pro and a con, but I definitely make very quick judgments about the content that I'm consuming. So like, for example, I actually use Medium a lot for a lot of like random, just like design insights, whether it's from like established design teams or people like new in the industry, things like that. And basically I'll read the first like few paragraphs. If it's something that I think that I want to continue with, I'll continue with it. If not, move on.
Okay.
Yeah. But, and then also like there are certain people that I suppose like I trust within the industry, whether it's like, so like, following a lot of those people, whether it's on Dribbble or Twitter or whatever. So like Dan Petty, Jared Arandu, like all of these different people are like really cool and like really people that I look up to for sure within the industry.
So I think it's a good segue to the next question is, do you have any mentors that you follow to stay inspired or things that might act as pseudo mentors like books or resources?
Yeah. So for me, I guess like, again, people that I look up to, there are like a lot of people, for example, even like at like Airbnb, like Jenny Arden, Derek Orr, who again are just like really awesome people who have a lot of insights in the industry, having worked in a lot of different places, and like somehow like hit them up for like advice and things like that. Also, as far as like mentorship, out of office hours is
it's a probably great program.
It's an amazing program, and I want to tell everyone about it because like honestly, that's that first interview that I had, or like not interview,
it's
that
more
first
like chat.
Yeah, that first chat that I had. Was with a lady named Casey who's at Forward Health.
Okay.
And she was the one who really like got me, like gave me a lot of confidence as far as like getting into like the design industry. She helped me get to Epic Hearings, which was hosted by Dan Petty, and met a bunch of people there who really inspired me. So honestly, like out of office hours, an amazing like I guess like mentorship platform
100%.
That I would definitely go for. Yeah.
So as a design leader at on campus, I'm sure there's a lot of people that come up to you asking for advice or how to get into this field.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many people listening to this episode right now would want immediate actionable pieces of advice.
Yeah.
And wondering if you have any.
Yeah. Generally, don't get ready, just get started. Like, Like, as soon as, if you have any interest in this, just start learning something. So, for example, like, the way I got started was really just like doing a bunch of like freelancing projects, learned Illustrator over the course of like 2 weeks, and then like kept on building on that initial base by doing projects and by like if someone requested something or if I there was something that I really wanted to be able to make that I wasn't sure how to do it, I'd learn it on the job. So like learning on the job, like learning on the job is probably like one of that the number one ways I would say to like actually get into this. Mm-hmm. And also, like, just immerse yourself in this industry. I mean, there are a lot of resources that we've talked about, whether it's, like, Medium and Twitter with just, like, actual communities of people.
Yeah.
Just, like, talking to people and engaging with that community is a huge way to just understand how things work within it and how you can actually get yourself plugged in.
And our last question is, what's next?
So, for me, what's next? I mean, I guess I have like another like interview in like a week that I should probably be preparing for at some point. But also like there's that. Probably have a midterm this week. Oh man.
Did you do laundry yet?
Have not done laundry. That needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just random stuff like that. That's probably gonna keep me occupied for the next week.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Humphrey. Really
thanks so much, man.
Students Who Design is written and produced by Sahil Khoja and Omar Abdul-Rahim. Visit our website, studentswho.design, for more information.